Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Thank you. Yes, it's Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week. And I don't know whether you realised it or not, but Palm Sunday is one of the few incidents that are actually recorded in all four of the Gospels. All four writers determined that this was something that people needed to be told about. And if it was significant 2,000 years ago, guess what? That means it's significant for us today also. It's a day, isn't it, where we read that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. In fact, it was a foal of a donkey, a colt. And a colt meant that the donkey had never been ridden before. And we see that the disciples spread their cloaks on the donkey and the crowds put their cloaks on the floor for Jesus as they welcome him into the city of Jerusalem. And we read that they shouted, "Son of David, Hosanna, here comes the King." And another thing that we notice as we'll read this passage in a moment is that even though all this was taking place, Jesus was in control every step of the way. In fact, you could say Jesus orchestrated everything that was going to take place. It wasn't a case of, as Jesus was going into Jerusalem for the Passover, suddenly like, whoa, who are all these people? Quick, get me a donkey so I can be elevated so they can see me more. Jesus planned every single step that day as he rode into the city. And the book of Matthew really summarizes who this king is. In chapter 1, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus, just linking him to King David. In chapter 2, we see wise men arriving to worship the king. In chapter 4, again, Jesus fulfills prophecies about this coming king. And it happens in different chapters beyond that also. And then in chapter 16, it's like the disciples are beginning to understand who Jesus really is. So much so that he orders them to not reveal who he is to the other people. He says, don't tell people I am the Messiah. But when we get to chapter 1, everything changes. The whole dynamic changes to the point that Jesus, the Messiah, who didn't want anyone to know who he was, begins to orchestrate events to make sure that who he is shouted louder than ever before. Because he knows as he's riding into Jerusalem, he is going to be confronting the religious and political powers of the day there. So let's look at this passage together. Matthew 21. As they arrived and approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say to them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." from donkey to procession to entry into Jerusalem, Jesus was in control every step of the way. So what does this passage mean for us this evening? The first thing we see in this passage is that we have to trust him. In verse 2, we see that Jesus sends off disciples into another village. He says, go into the village of Bethage, and you'll find a donkey and a colt, and tie them and bring them to me. And by the way, as you're doing it, if the owner says, oh, stop what you're doing, why are you taking my donkey? Just turn around and tell him, the Lord needs them. There's a picture, actually, of a disciple with a donkey right here. There we go. Look. It's great, isn't it? Yeah. What is Jesus doing here? Why is he telling his disciples to go and get a donkey from another village from where he's already at? Jesus knew what was coming ahead that week. And he wanted his disciples to learn to trust his voice. In order to go to another village, to go and find a donkey from an owner they didn't know, they had to trust that he had it all worked out. They had to have faith in the outcome. In John 10, Jesus says these words. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You and I have to learn to trust the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And trusting his voice is part of our growth as a follower of Jesus. Some years ago, when my kids were really little, and I had just the four of them, and they were kind of six and under, and you know that time of the day, parents, when your kids get a little bit hungry, yeah? In fact, they go past hunger and they become that hangry, you know? And all you just got to get dinner. Dinner just needs to get on the table quick, right? We were having an evening like that, and I decided to cook a lasagna, which isn't great when you know the kids are hungry, you know, and you're kind of trying to do it, but it's going to take time. And there was just, as I was making this lasagna, there was this voice that just cut across everything, and it said, make another lasagna, Sarah. And I was like, what? Like, my kids are hungry. What is going on here? And again, it was just, make another lasagna, and I want to take you to take it to this family. And nothing like that had ever happened to me before, and I was just like, what is that all about? But I decided to trust the voice. And so I made this extra lasagna, and I got the kids, and I got into the car. And the family who I was told to take the lasagna to lived in Liverpool. And so I drove to Liverpool from Widnes. And I remember as I was driving there thinking, what if when I knock on the door, they kind of, and they open it and they look at me and say, we've already got tea. Like, why did you think to bring us tea? All this stuff was going through my head of like, what, why? Like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. I remember when I turned up at that door, the kids were in the car eating a bag of crisps because that's what they needed because they were just going berserk, right, okay, in the car. And I remember knocking on the door thinking, oh, man, what am I going to do here? And they just opened the door and I went, this sounds strange, I really know, but I just feel the Lord's told me to bring you a lasagna. And I just remember the mum just saying, I've got a kid with bronchitis. We're all really poorly right now. And I was just saying to my husband, one of us needs to get dressed and go and get some food for tea. And here I was. I'd arrived at the door with a ready-made meal for them. We have to learn to trust his voice. And Jesus said to the disciples, listen, trust me. Go to that other village. You're going to find a donkey and a colt, and the owner will let you borrow it. And how did Jesus know? Because whenever Jesus asks us to do something, he will always prepare a way. Like he prepared the heart of the owner who would be willing to give up the donkey for the Lord. And when you and I hear the voice of the Lord, it isn't always going to make sense, but it will always be something that will glorify him and prepare the way for the King of Glory to be seen. So if the Lord asks you to get a donkey, go and get a donkey. Don't worry how it might happen. Leave that all to him. That's trusting his voice. That's faith. The second thing, trusting his voice, leads us to obedience. When we hear what the Holy Spirit says, there comes a point where we have to decide, am I going to walk in obedience? And when we choose to walk out that obedience, guess what? We are walking out the things that he has already planned for us. And in this text, we see two areas of obedience taking place. There was obedience from Jesus, and there was obedience from the disciples. And we see in this passage with the disciples that they did exactly what Jesus asked of them. It was only getting two donkeys. But in the obedience of that only getting the two donkeys, we see a prophecy was fulfilled. Verse 5 says, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." When God asks you to do something, do not minimize the role that God asks you to play in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter how big or how small and insignificant it may seem. God wants to use any of us at any time, in any place, but we can only be used if we trust his voice and we walk it out in obedience. And our obedience to him, it's never about getting the donkey. It's about preparing the way for the king and fulfilling his word and his plans. Jesus was teaching the disciples, trust me, trust my voice. You know, maybe these particular two disciples, maybe their faith was lacking. And God used this opportunity for these two disciples just to be reminded and to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. Because in the days to come, when the crucifixion would come in a week later, maybe those two disciples just needed to be able to remember that moment. He is who he said he is. Do you remember? We went to that village and we got a donkey and we said exactly what Jesus told us to say, and the owner went, yeah, sure, take the donkey. Imagine them walking off, you know, and the rest of the disciples going, I can't believe it. Let us know how it gets on, lads. Do you know what I mean? Kind of thing. And then as they're coming back, they're going, I can't believe it. It worked. What Jesus said, everything worked. Imagine how their faith grew in that moment, that it all came to pass, everything that Jesus said. And I don't know about you, but when we have an answered prayer, when we act upon something that we hear, and actually it turns out, oh, God was right. That was God's voice I heard. How much does our faith grow in those situations? When we trust the Holy Spirit and we take that step of faith, our faith in God grows just a little bit more. And when our faith grows, guess what? We're preparing the way for the King in our life. The second thing we see is in the obedience, we see that in Jesus' life also. The book of Matthew, I've already said, was written to reveal who the king was. Now, whenever a king arrives at a place, he doesn't kind of just slip into a town, does he? It's kind of like a bit more of a fanfare, all right? Okay, there's a procession. I remember when the Queen came into Warrington and all the schools were out on the roads and everyone was cheering. It was amazing. And think back to the coronation of King Charles. You know, all the, down the mall, all those people, thousands upon thousands of people ready to greet the king as he came riding in all his glory, yeah, okay? Can you imagine if, as we flicked on our TVs, there was Prince Charles and Camilla on donkeys. I mean, it's not quite got the same effect, has it? Do you know what I mean? Little donkeys just kind of plodding down the mall, you know, kind of thing. Okay, we'd be like, what kind of a king is this? You see, because kings do not ride donkeys. They ride horses. It's the servants who ride the donkeys. And I'm sure the disciples were anticipating the day when Jesus would make known to everyone that he was the king. And they must have wondered, Jesus, why a donkey? Because in that time, people understood that if a king was riding a donkey into a town or into a city, normally that king was riding to his own death. That king was going to be slaughtered. Because a king cannot protect himself on the back of a donkey. So how was Jesus going to kick out the Roman occupiers on a donkey? And even though all the power and all the authority belonged to Jesus, he understood the importance of riding into Jerusalem in full humility and full gentleness. That prophecy again, which had been given 500 years before this day. Your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey. And the second thing we see about this obedience of Jesus, all our misery, our fighting, our sickness, it is all caused by sin. Sin is where we put God in the place, or rather we put ourselves in the place of where God should be. And Jesus, that day, rode on a donkey for our salvation, putting himself in the place of us. We see also in this passage that the disciples gave everything. If I've got friends coming round for food, I will always do a bit of a polish, yeah? Clean the kitchen table, wipe around the kitchen. I mean, the house has to look clean, doesn't it? You know. And that's great, it's fine. But if I suddenly had a phone call saying, Mrs. Dewhurst, we just would like to inform you that His Royal Highness, King Charles, and his wife, Camilla, will be coming to your house on Thursday at 4 o'clock. They would like some tea. We will have egg and cress sandwiches, followed by some beef brisket. Guess what? There are going to be corners of my house that are going to be scrubbed and clean that have never, ever been scrubbed and clean. I can tell you, all right, now, there are going to be no cobwebs in the downstairs toilet, right? So those of you who come to my house, next time you have a look. There's quite a few. You just got to reach a bit, and I always forget it. But if the king was coming, it would not be the bare minimum. That would not be enough, because I would give my everything for the king coming to my house. And the two disciples, listen, they trusted the voice of Jesus. They walked in obedience, his plans, okay? And they fetched the donkeys like Jesus asked. But they also did another thing. In verse 7, it says, they placed their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to sit on. They placed their cloaks. Why is this significant? Because in that time, the cloak was everything to a person. The cloak was their covering at night time. When they slept outside, they would cover themselves for warmth and protection. They used their cloaks. They took them everywhere with them. And so by giving their cloaks to Jesus to sit on, what they were saying is, Jesus, we trust you. We obey you, Jesus. And also, everything we have and we need, we give to you. What a contrast of that devotion from the young rich ruler. In Matthew 19, there's a rich young man, and he comes to Jesus and he says, I am following all the commandments, Jesus. I'm doing everything right. But how can I be sure of this eternal life in heaven? And Jesus says to him, go, sell everything you have, give your riches to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. And we read in that account that that man, it says he goes away sad because he was so rich and he couldn't give it up. Jesus wasn't saying that you aren't allowed to be rich if you follow me. He was challenging the man on a commandment. The man had said, I am obeying all of the commandments. The very first commandment is, have no other gods before me. And Jesus was asking this young man, do you trust me to meet your every need? Do you trust me? Or do you trust more in your finances? The man believed he was listening and he was obeying God, that he was doing everything right. But the truth is, he loved and he trusted his money more than he loved and he trusted God. He wasn't truly loving the Lord with all his heart. And for you and I, we need to give Jesus our cloaks. Those things that are most important to us. We have to be willing to surrender them to Jesus. It might not be wealth like the rich young ruler, but it might be our plans, our lifestyles. Even our families can take a higher priority and a higher place than Jesus. And we see in this passage that as the disciples, as they gave their cloaks to Jesus to sit on, there's another beautiful thing that takes place. In verse 8, it simply says, and a very large crowd also spread their cloaks on the road for Jesus. Notice when the two disciples gave up everything, the crowd followed. There are people in our lives who are watching how we follow Jesus. Here's a thought. Would the crowd have placed their cloaks on the road if the disciples hadn't given up their cloaks first for Jesus? Our not giving up something for Jesus, our not giving him everything, might actually be hindering somebody who is watching you follow Jesus. Hebrews 13 says this, remember your leaders who brought you the word of God, and consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. Now, I know this passage is talking to leaders, but as followers of Jesus, we need to understand tonight there is always somebody watching you and watching how you follow Jesus. It might be a friend. It might be one of your children. It might be a colleague at work. It might be a family member. You might not even realize it, but there will be somebody watching you, knowing that you call yourself a follower of Jesus. And they're looking to see, does Jesus really transform your life? Is he really worth giving everything up for? And when you and I trust in him, when we walk out his plans in obedience and give him everything, we are proclaiming him as king in our lives. And we are proclaiming it in order so that others can follow him. The final thing we see in verse 10 is a city is stirred. As the crowd spread their cloaks, we see that they too began to make the proclamation, Hosanna to the Son of David. And as they approach, everyone's wondering, who is this person arriving into our city? The name of Jesus will always cause a reaction. And Jesus knows exactly the reaction he's going to get. And he knows he's not coming to please everyone. He is coming to confront the city with his kingship. Jesus does not want to be your inspiration. He does not want to be your counselor. He does not want to be a good person that you like. Jesus wants to be your king. And Jesus is either king of every part of us or he is not king at all. We can surrender to Jesus and crown him as our king, or like the crowds later on, we walk away and we despise him. Some of you have been Christians for many years. Well, remember, do you remember the days of open airs? Yeah, where we kind of declared who Jesus was. You'd have 30 or 40 of you going out into the streets in the town. We'd be singing songs. You'd have someone on an accordion. A few of us would have tambourines with ribbons, yeah. And there'd be a drama from young people, all right? I think there's a picture there coming up. That's me in the drama team when I was 13 years of age. And we had the white faces because it wasn't a Christian drama unless you had white faces. And when we stood in the town centre all together, one of three things normally happened. Firstly, you would either have people who would walk past you with their eyes down, just hoping not to make eye contact with any of you, and they would just walk past really fast, okay? Just like, oh my goodness, who are these people kind of thing. Or you could get insults thrown at you and objects, all right? I remember my dad once, he was sharing the gospel, and get this, people had actually gone into the butchers and gone and got, like, pig's trotters and chicken feet from the butchers and then come out and out of their carrier bags started to throw them at my dad whilst he's preaching the gospel. So those of you who know my dad, it didn't stop him, it just made him shout louder, all right, okay? Or thirdly, people stand a little far back and they watch and they're listening and they might even respond. And people around your life will either move towards God when you declare him openly, or they will come against you. Don't worry how people respond. That's not our job. Our job is to prepare the way for the king. And a city was stirred that day because Jesus came into Jerusalem asking a simple question. Am I your king? And we read that a few days later, the answer came when their cries of Hosanna turned to crucify him. You see, they wanted a king for the now, not for their hearts. They wanted a king who would overthrow Rome, not overthrow sin and death. And as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, he also rode in for you and me. We've not been saved by force or by strength. We've been saved through grace. Jesus doesn't come to conquer by force. He comes gentle, riding on a donkey. He comes as our sacrifice. To finish with, verse 5 says in the prophecy, "See, your king comes to you." Present tense. He's still coming. The King of Kings still comes. We heard tonight the testimonies. He comes and he brings new life. He comes and he restores. He comes to transform and change the hearts and minds of men and women who will crown him as king in their life. Will you trust his voice? Will you walk out in obedience as you trust him? Will you give him everything? And will you make him your king?
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.